A call meeting to order. Would you like to lead us in the pledge? Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, the agenda was in your packet. Any corrections or changes?
No, Mr. Chair, pursuant to Arizona Revised Statute 38-431.02, the agenda has been properly advertised and there are no modifications. The board may take action.
I'm entertaining a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. Citizens in room? I have. Do we have anybody sign up?
We did not.
Thank you. All right. We have the mayor of Benson here, Dr. Mr. Mayor Conrad. I'm trying to give you a doctor in all these people. But Mayor Conrad is going to present us with a special recognition. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, David.
I don't know.
Well, good evening, board members, Dr. Perry, faculty, staff, students, community partners, and friends. On behalf of the city of Benson, it is my honor and privilege to stand before you today as we present a key to the city to Cochise College, an institution that has opened doors for generations of students, families, employers, and communities across Cochise County. The key is more than a symbol of appreciation. It represents trust, partnership, and gratitude. It represents the deep respect the people of Benson have for a college that has consistently lived up to its promise of creating futures, strengthening the communities that it serves. Cochise College has been a part of the story of Southeastern Arizona for more than 60 years. Since opening its doors in 1964, it has grown from one of Arizona's first community colleges into a leading rural institution known for access, workforce development, affordability, and student success. Today, it offers more than 100 degree, certificate, and training programs, helping students pursue meaningful careers, transfer opportunities, technical skills, lifelong learning, and personal growth. Here in Benson, we understand the value of having education close to home. The Cochise College Benson Center is not simply a building or a classroom space. It is a place where opportunity becomes reachable. It is where students can begin a new chapter without leaving their community behind, where working adults can build new skills, where families can see a pathway forward, and where lifelong learners can continue to grow. That matters. It matters to a parent trying to improve their future. It matters to a high school student taking early steps toward a degree. It matters to a business owner looking for skilled workers. It matters to a community like Benson that believes education and economic development go hand in hand. Cochise College's mission speaks of inclusive and accessible educational opportunities, social responsibility, community engagement, meaningful careers, and lifelong learning. Those are not just words on a page. They are values we see reflected in the lives of students, in the strength of local partnerships, and in the continued investment this college makes in our region. President Perry, your leadership comes at an important time. Community colleges are being asked to respond quickly to changing workforce needs, new technologies, and the hopes of students who are looking for practical, affordable, and life-changing opportunities. Cochise College has shown that it is ready for that challenge. It is responsive, innovative, and deeply rooted in service. To the Board of Directors, thank you for your stewardship and vision. Your work helps ensure that Cochise College remains a trusted partner not only to its students, but also to cities, towns, employers, schools, military families, and residents throughout Cochise County. You help guide an institution that prepares people not just for jobs, but for lives of purpose and contribution. And to the faculty and the staff of Cochise College, we recognize the daily work you do, often quietly and behind the scenes, to encourage students, remove barriers, and make success possible. Every class taught, every advising appointment, every training program, and every act of support contributes to the future of this county. The city of Benson is proud to call Cochise College a partner. We are proud of the Benson Center. We are proud of the students who study there, the families who are strengthened by it, and the opportunities that continue to grow because of this college's presence in our community. Today, Cochise College receives that honor because it has helped unlock opportunity for Benson and for all of Cochise County. It has opened doors to education, opened doors to careers, opened doors to service, and opened doors to brighter futures. So with gratitude for your history, admiration for your present work, and confidence in the future you are helping build, I am honored to present a key to the city of Benson to Cochise Community College. Congratulations, and thank you for your enduring service to our students, our families, our workforce, and our community.
Let's get the board up in front here.
You guys want to come up sure. Front here? Well,
they'll read the inscription. Presented by the City of Benson to Cochise Community College in grateful recognition of its enduring commitment to education, workforce development, and community service. Through accessible, high-quality post-secondary education and meaningful opportunities for lifelong learning, Cochise College has strengthened the success, stability, and future of Benson, Cochise County, and rural Arizona. With appreciation for creating futures, empowering communities, and opening doors for generations of students. Presented this 11th day of August, 2026, with my signature.
Thank you. Welcome. The new service. You're welcome.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Well, Joe and Tiffany are here. I'd just like to thank them for this award. On behalf of course, the governing board, the college, faculty, staff, students as well. You know, when you think about a key to the city, I can't help but think about unlocking opportunity, right? And some of the things that we've been able to do with the city of Benson to help train, when we talk about workforce, not only their employees, but meet educational need within the Benson area. And a lot of that work has been in the workforce side with Colin Scarborough and some of the things that he's done. But what a great honor this is, Joe. We appreciate it. We appreciate our partnership with Benson, and we look forward to continued partnership for years to come.
Well, thank you. It's been a great relationship, and we look forward to continuing to grow it.
Thank you, Mayor Conrad, and I think your speech hit it right on the nail right on the head. So exactly what this college wants to do. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, standing reports. Mr. Leader, do you have an AACCP report?
Not this month, but definitely next month.
Okay, thank you. Senate report, not provided. They're not in. It's in nothing in your packet, so we'll go by that. Student government will not have a report. Dr. Perry, you're up.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the board, as we prepare to welcome students back to campus, there's kind of a renewed sense of enthusiasm, excitement, and anticipation. In fact, yesterday we kicked off our new academic year at Convocation on the Douglas campus, bringing together faculty, staff to reconnect, reflect on the work that's been done this last year, the great things that we've accomplished, but also took the day to launch the college's new strategic planning process. In fact, thanks to Dr. Brown and Dr. Wants, they put together an activity that brought all of everybody that was there at Convocation together to really think about the future of Cochise College, to identify some of our strengths, some of our challenges, and give ideas of what the college would be in the years to come. So we kind of kickstarted that strategic planning process with them, getting their initial input. And over the fall and into the spring, as I mentioned before, this will be an important year as we look at getting various stakeholder input into our new strategic planning process to help shape the direction for the college in the coming. On the legislative front, Arizona legislature completed their work for the FY 2027 state budget. We are actually in the process right now of putting together our 2028 budget to submit to the governor. So the community colleges are putting their own budgets together that will go then to the AC4 group for submission to the governor. Now, we did not receive a lot of new ongoing monies this year. And in fact, going into next year, we think that it's going to be as tight as it was and anticipate another cautious kind of budget environment. Also, when it's election year, so it'll be interesting to see what happens at the state. That will dictate a lot moving forward. We'll continue to keep the board appraised of what's happening there and those things that may impact us. On the federal at the federal level, Congress has not yet completed the FY 2027 budget. The Senate has approved a short-term continued resolution that would maintain federal funding through December 11th, providing additional time for Congress to negotiate the full FY 2027 appropriations bills. The House and Senate must still complete this action on a final measure before the current federal funding expires on September 30th. If enacted, the continuing resolution would avoid a shutdown of the government, at least temporarily, for higher education programs such as Pell, Grants, TRIO, some of these other ones would generally continue operating at their existing funding levels during that period. So we'll continue to keep the college abreast of what's happening there. I will note that we did receive a grant award email from the state for our 2025 through 2028 WIOA funding for adult education. So we feel pretty good about where that's at right now, but we don't know about the future of adult education funding at the federal level. And if anything changes, we'll be sure to notify the board on that front. Moving into some facilities update. Our facilities continue to do just a fantastic job here at Cochise College. Planning, capital improvements continue. We expect that we would have the facility condition assessment done by the end of August. And as I've mentioned before, that will feed into our facilities master plan as part of the strategic planning process. On the Douglas campus, the City of Douglas well project continues to make steady progress. Well boring and production casing installation has been completing. They're installing a gravel filter and they'll begin flushing, scheduling flushing there as the next phase of the project. Building 400 renovation continues, although some of the recent monsoon activities have delayed roofing operations there. Roofing work is expected to resume mid to late September once conditions allow. And we're hoping that then we can do interior build out and some of those other things with a project completion anticipated around mid-November. Building 900 roof replacement, that's the gym, continues on both the flat and the slope sections of Building 900. Weather permitting, that project remains on schedule for substantial completion by early September. Wachuca Hall, planning continues for the renovation of Wachuca Hall apartments. Preparation of as build out drawings are nearing completion, after which the project will enter the state fire marshal review process. And then reconstruction is expected to begin late September following window installation. And we expect that project to be completed sometime in January of 2027. On the Sierra Vista campus, the student union roof restoration roof has been completed, extending the life of that existing roof system to avoid needing full replacement anytime soon. The college did relocate the tutoring center from the Learning Commons Center to the library. That's been completed, providing students with improved access to academic support services. As the hours of the library are extended, now too we'll be able to extend that tutoring center services as well. Campus Services Building, the 2600. There's still some remodeling that's taking place there. They did some remodeling of the conference room and the final punch list work for the Office of Technology Services and Facilities is underway. Project is expected to be completed sometime the first week. Well, this week or next week. So we're keeping our fingers crossed. Moving on to some of the great things that are happening in our academic areas. As the academic year begins, I kind of joked last week when I presented during Good Morning Sierra Vista for the Sky Islands, is that people think that we don't do a whole lot of work over the summer. And I know that Dr. Wendy Davis has made mention of that as well. But a lot of things happened over the summer. Let me just name a few of those. The nursing and allied health programs continue to produce outstanding student outcomes while meeting regional workforce needs. In fact, current NCLEX first-time pass rate for students who completed the program in May is 95.31%. So congratulations to Beth and her team, Melissa as well, for the superb work that they're doing. In fact, I saw Scott Avery from Canyon Vista this morning at Good Morning Sierra Vista. Last year, they hired 5 of our nurses. This time, last year, they've hired 30 nurses from our program at Canyon Vista. So that is huge. And you should have seen the smile on his face when he said that to me. And then, of course, my smile as well. So that's fantastic. 14 students completed the paramedic program this summer. To date, 10 graduates have earned both state and national certification, successfully passing the national registry. Those are paramedics that are going to serve locally in our local public fire stations and whatnot, serving the community. So we're super excited about that. 8 students are on track to complete their Bachelor's of Science in Nursing in December. EMS and the fire EMS and fire advisor and the fire science program had advisory committees, so they continue to work with the agencies locally to provide input into our programs and partner there. In business and career technical education, we continue to expand opportunities there. Residential construction technology not only finished their house, but I think the build house is in escrow right now to be sold. So we're excited about that. And then they held summer camps and provided hands-on learning experiences for culinary arts, automotive technology, cyber, and game design. As well as, the assistant dean for business and technical education, Mike Gaspar, presented a workforce update to the Southern Arizona Contractors Association, highlighting some of the growing partnerships we have there. We've also, we know that our ag instructor, Amy Estevez, participated in Cochise College's, represented Cochise College for the Arizona FFA State Leadership Conference that's held annually in Tucson to recruit students for our ag program. So thank you, Amy. And we continue to expand public safety education and workforce training opportunities. We've just launched class 26-2 for Law Enforcement Academy, which started with 21 recruits. I think we're down to 22.
20.
Down to 20. Okay. 6 of those are women, and I think that is the largest class that we've had with female participants, numbering 6, that we've ever had before. So congratulations to them. Planning continues for the college's first Detention Officer Academy, which will create new career pathways and help address a regional workforce need as well. And then this summer, Cochise College hosted the Western States Sheriff's Association Leadership Academy here on the Sierra Vista campus, bringing together law enforcement leaders from across the Western United States for a week of leadership. And these are individuals whom sheriff's departments have identified as the next leaders to become sheriffs in their area, or at least the potential to become sheriffs. And we were just super proud to be a part of that. Some community engagements. Since the last board meeting we've had, actually the last face-to-face, we had two graduates, Quint and Kara, graduate from the ACCLA Leadership Academy as part of AC4. That is kind of mimics some of the Aspen stuff in leadership, identifying the next generation mid-level leaders within community colleges in Arizona. We had, of course, a ribbon cutting for the Douglas Science building renaming. Thank you to the board members that were able to attend that based on the generous gift by Anne-Marie Stevens. June 15th through the 20th, the College National Rodeo Finals were in Wyoming. Dr. Davis was able to attend that and cheer on our local rodeo students there. I had some annual leave there in June. We observed June 18th, the college observed Juneteenth. July 8th, the Sheriff's Assist Team Award Luncheon. I attended that as well as other persons from the college to represent there. July 14th, we had a board meeting, which was Zoom only, consent agenda. July 17th through 21st, I attended the Mountain States Annual Conference up in Idaho. Got a chance August 4th to bring greetings and updates for Good Morning Sierra Vista. We hosted convocation yesterday, and of course, we've got the board meeting today. Some of the things that are coming up, August 12th and 14th, we've, along with SGA Student Government Association, we've got the campus experience where we'll all have a chance to address some of the new students during new student orientation. I've got a meeting with Education Forward Arizona later on this week on August 13th. August 17th, next Monday, fall semester begins with students back on campus. So we're all really excited about that. August 18th, the foundation will have an orientation for two new board members. So I'll have a chance to meet with them, tell them all about the college. August 19th through the 20th, AC4 and ACCT retreat in Flagstaff. Myself and board member Steve Leader will be able to attend that. We've got a welcome back barbecue with the administrative cabinet on August 25th. August 28th, we'll be celebrating on the Douglas campus 25 years of a trio on the Douglas campus. So there'll be a 25th anniversary. Again, all of these things, the board is welcome to attend. We'd love to have you there if you can make it. If you're interested, let me know and we'll get you that information. September 2nd, I've got a foundation meeting. September 7th, college is closed for Labor Day. And then September 8th is the next regular board meeting in Sierra Vista. I'll make a note real quick that as we talk about strategic planning on the dais there, you've got a number of things, including a pamphlet on TRIO, as well as kind of a brochure there that lines out the strategic planning timeline and kind of process there. So as you take a look at that, and as we have subsequent board meetings, we'll make sure that we're updating the board ongoing. And then we'll have at our October 30th retreat, we'll also have an activity there where the board will actually not only hear about what's been compiled so far in regards to strategic planning, but we'll get a chance for you guys to go through an activity as well to offer your input into that process. Okay. Mr. Chair, members of the board, that completes my report.
Thank you, Dr. Perry.
Any questions?
Okay. In your packet is the monthly financial report. Are there any questions or concerns? No? Hearing none? Also in that was for the June 26th, 2026, and also the July 2026. Very good. Okay, the monthly academic progress report was also in your packet. Any questions or concerns? Okay, moving right along to new business. We have some staff things to do. I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Moved.
Second.
Well, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Motion. Any opposed? Motion carries. Is there any introductions?
Not today.
Okay. Okay. Information items. Dr. Perry?
Yeah, so communications, we recently received a letter from the Cochise County Sheriff's Office, specifically County Sheriff Mark Daniels, thanking Cochise College for our partnership and support in hosting the inaugural Western State Sheriff's Association Leadership Academy. Sheriff Daniels highlighted the college's facilities, hospitality, and commitment to developing the next generation of public safety leaders. He also shared the positive feedback received from participants and specifically recognized Cullen Scarborough and Bailey Nelson for their professionalism and contributions to making the Academy a success. We are proud to support the important regional and national partnerships there.
Okay. Community Engagement Division report. Wentz?
Let's wait for it to appear on the screen and then we'll get started. Well, good evening, Board Chair, Board Members, Dr. Perry, and guests. Thank you for having me speak today. I'm going to talk a little bit about community engagement, but I'm going to avoid three areas, and I'm letting you know that because they give their own reports to the board later, and that's the foundation, marketing, communications, and advancement, and then our Douglas Campus Dean. So I won't be talking about those three areas, but would be happy to answer any questions if you have some. This mouse is so sensitive. Can you just do it? Can you? I don't know if you can like hit just like a forward button.
It just,
that would be great. Okay, so first of all, just some outreach, just to let you all know, we still participate in several community parades. So last year we did the holiday parades in Wilcox, Sierra Vista, and Douglas, and we're going to do that again this year. So we're really excited about that. And we also participate in lots of community tabling events. For example, the 4th of July at Veterans Park for the city of Sierra Vista, and some other random things that come up that we'll talk about in a little bit that are upcoming for this year. And one of the things that we've been doing as well is working with the University of Arizona Extension, doing some partnerships with their water and the efforts that they've been doing with the Lincoln Institute of Land Policy. So they've been having community meetings and we go in and we're recorders. We help the community express what they have going on and what needs they have. So it's pretty exciting stuff. And we also did put the invitation for the TRIO. And just to let you know, for that 25th anniversary of TRIO this year, we're actually inviting a student that graduated from Cochise College who's currently working on her doctorate at, I think, the University of Michigan or Wisconsin or somewhere up north where it's cold. And but she's getting her entire PhD program paid for by NASA. So she's coming to talk about that experience. She's a very exceptional young woman. So please come and hear from her. It's going to be really exciting. Next. Awesome. In our library in Sierra Vista, we just got a grant this year to do study pods like we did on our Douglas campus. We got four individual study pods in Douglas last year. And I can let you know that we've had a little over 900 student usage hours in that study pod. We estimate about 80 students a month use it, but almost 1,000 hours have been used in those study pods. And so in Sierra Vista, we actually got what is called a quad pod. And that is a picture of the quad pod. So it'll fit 3 to 4 students inside of it. So they can do small group work along with 3 single quad, well, study pods that we got for free that the LISTA grant pays for. So we're really excited about it. They also got a grant for a library of things, and that means that they'll be able to check out items that students might need to complete classwork that they might not necessarily want to spend a lot of money on, like a podcast
kit so that they can make a podcast for a class, portable charging packs, visual study timers, noise canceling headphones, all those types of things are available that students can check out in our library of things. And then also hotspots. We continue to receive a grant for about $4,000 a year to help pay for hotspots so that the college doesn't have to take all of its resources for that. On our Douglas campus, we just got new doors on our library, so we're really excited. They're storefront doors, so you can see in and out really easily. And along with the number of hours on the Douglas campus for the study pods, we have a survey that students can complete, and we have a 4.45 star on it. It's increased a lot because originally, see how the glass door doesn't have any film on it? Students said in the survey, the privacy is a little bit sketchy. And so they added on the Douglas campus some frosted tint to it. So now students are much more comfortable in there doing their studying. Next slide. This is just a quick snapshot of how many events we have on campus. These are not our academic class usage. It's just for our events. We get about 1,500 events a year, both internal and external clients. But something weird has happened in the last year. So you could see it went way skyrocketed to over 4,400 events. And we have purchased a new software called CourseDog. And we love the software, but what it does is it counts every event two times because, or sometimes three times, because it adds on like a setup time and then a cleanup time, and they count it as individual events. And so in 2 years from now, we'll be able to compare apples to apples. But right now we're comparing apples to oranges, but we're still doing about 1,500 events a year. The next slide is about our Benson Center. And so these are the courses that we're offering this fall. We're really excited. We have two art classes here now, a watercolor and an oil painting. It's kind of a nice reprieve because that oil painting class can get real stinky, but it is really popular out here. Tons of the community members really enjoy these art classes. We're also very involved in the Benson Butterfield Rodeo. Jody, who is our our center coordinator out in Wilcox, is actually going to be one of the judges this year for the Benson Butterfield Rodeo. And this year, we helped the city of Benson with a community survey, and Janelle and I just talked about it right before the meeting. We had 357 people complete the survey, and it's a pretty incredible number for us because there's only 2,300 households in the city of Benson. So that means about 15% of the households completed the survey. And if you're in the survey world, anything above 10% is a phenomenal number. We're pretty excited about anything over 10%. So we're really excited about that opportunity for the city of Benson to learn a little bit more about what services their community needs. And then just letting everybody know that there will be a CDIG meeting here at the Benson Center on September 17th. I know that we'll have some representatives there, but I know sometimes guys like to come to those as well. Oh, we can you go? Thank you. Perfect. At our Wilcox Center, we've had Jody completed Project Central this year. So she just graduated from that in July. So we're really excited about that opportunity for her to go and learn about how she can better serve her rural community. We've seen an increased use of external clients at the center because of that relationship that Jody has been curating. Sorry, I clicked it. See, it works when I don't want it to. Thank you. So we're really excited about that because she's got the Wine Growers Association meeting at the center. She's got a women's conference, which they just did on July 25th. And so they had a bunch of women in business come out to the center. And then they have this upcoming Beat the Heat business showcase that will be there that their chamber is doing in Wilcox on the 19th from 4 to 7. Next is just a quick update about civic engagement. This semester, we're actually doing our book club. Typically, for the past couple of years, we've done it in the spring semester, but because it is a midterm election, we want to do something to kind of promote the importance of voting. And so we're doing the book for our book club, Thank You for Voting by Erin Smith. And it's a great way to help our students see that their vote does matter, even in midterm elections. It's really important. And so we're really excited about that. We just received our 2026 Highly Established Action Plan, which is our civic engagement basic strategic plan for the next 2 years to get us through midterms and to the start of the next general election. And we scored 29 out of 32 points on that with the All-In organization that sponsors it. And then we've been doing several America 250 service projects in order to get students involved with service in the community. And so this is just an example of one of the roadside cleanups that we did in the spring semester, but we have several planned for the fall. We have a little over 1,300 participants in Cochise Cares right now, and we're almost a little over 20,000 service hours recorded since 2019. We just honored yesterday at convocation our employee volunteer of the year, who is Erica Reed. She's an English instructor at the Sierra Vista campus. She doesn't do numbers too much, she's just Sierra Vista. She's been working with kids in different countries to help them with their education, training, and stuff. So it's pretty exciting, the work that's going on in civic engagement. New this year, we have a service learning component that we're bringing back with a scholarship that was an anonymous donor gave to us, a little over $11,000 to give tuition reimbursements to students that complete coursework for service learning. Could you actually click, please? Thank you. And so a student can take any class, and if they can do service in relation to their academic work, and then do something in the community to showcase that service, they can get their tuition reimbursed until we run out of money. And so right now we're working with Dr. Davies, who's an astronomy / physics instructor who does these star parties with us. I know I've talked about it a little bit last year. And the students that help run those star parties, they are actually taking the knowledge in the classroom and sharing it with community members at these events. And so we're going to use that as one of the first service learning opportunities. We're really excited about it, along with some music instruction courses as well. So we'd love to keep expanding that as more instructors get excited about it. And because of that, we're going to do a student research colloquium the last full Friday before finals each semester, where students can come in and do poster presentations and actual presentations to be able to add to their resume that they presented on their research at a community college, which is kind of exciting. We do it a little bit with our undergraduate research club, but we're also going to include our Phi Theta Kappa projects, our honors program projects, the service learning projects that we're doing, and any other really interesting research that our students are passionate about sharing with the community. And one of those things that we're working on is with Camp Naco. So they're getting ready to open in the spring, Camp Naco down in Bisbee. And in October on the 17th, they're doing a large, unbelievable Borderlands Festival. And we're going to be very involved in helping with some educational programming, and we'll have some tabling. So we're trying to get some more students to internships out there with anthropology and those types of courses. So really excited about those opportunities. And then I think that's it. Does anyone have any questions?
So it sounds like with the tutoring relocation and the extended hours that we're upping the tutoring capacity then?
Well, in Sierra Vista, we always have a pretty high tutoring numbers in Sierra Vista. What we're really expanding is access to a computer lab. So
okay.
In Sierra Vista, our computer lab was in the Learning Commons where the tutoring center was, and they would close at like 6, 7, something like that. Now the library is open until 8 o'clock, and so we're moving that computer lab into the library. It's already moved. It's moved into the library so that students have access to it until 8 o'clock at night now, Monday through Thursday. And
nice.
then we're working with tutoring to expand some additional opportunities, but we have tutoring 24/7 because of our 24/7 tutoring options. So
yeah, awesome.
And we also have a 24/7 library chat as well. So if students get stuck in the middle of the night with research, they just have to log in.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dustin. All right. Student success and strategic enrollment management plan, Dr. Allen.
Okay. Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, board members, President Perry, colleagues, and guests. This presentation provides an overview of the 25 to 28 Strategic Enrollment Management Plan, also known as the SEMP. So I may reference SEMP occasionally. This plan began in late spring of 25 and was finalized in late fall. You should have access to the plan. I do have a copy if you would like a copy afterwards to read in entirety, but I'm just going to bring highlights to you today. A strategic enrollment management plan is a comprehensive data-informed framework that aligns an institution's recruitment, enrollment, and student success efforts with its mission, strategic priorities, and available resources. Rather than focusing only on increasing enrollment, a SEMP seeks to also retain students by supporting them throughout their educational journey and helping them achieve their educational and career goals. Thank you for your help. For a community college, a SEMP is particularly important because enrollment can be influenced by many external factors, as we know, such as demographics, workforce needs, local economic conditions, dual enrollment trends, transfer patterns, and state and federal funding. A well-developed plan helps the institution respond proactively to these changes. The plan begins with research and data analysis and includes charts and tables showing historical enrollment trends, student success data, environmental scan results, and workforce and labor trends. The goal in gathering the data was to determine our enrollment behavior post-pandemic, what our greatest opportunities are for future enrollment growth, and appropriate strategies specific to Cochise that would help us retain our students. Our findings show that enrollment has fluctuated in recent years with steady increases from 2022 to 2024. Growth has been strongest among part-time students and younger age groups, while enrollment of students age 25 and older has declined slightly, and the 18 to 24 group has grown only modestly. This reflects a shrinking pool of traditional age students in Cochise County. Persistence and retention rates have remained steady, with graduation rates fluctuating between 18 to 21%. While we always want to keep a focus on retention, where we want to make considerable improvement is in our completion and transfer rates. The findings also found that our greatest opportunity for enrollment growth is with our population of students who have earned some credits, but have left the college before completing a degree or certificate. This is it's around 31%. This data point is similar to the focus population mentioned on the slide, that 30% of Cochise County adults have some college but no degree. So it's a similar match to that. Next slide. Thank you. The plan includes three initiatives that drive the goals and strategies. The first initiative is focused on enrollment growth. The next is student success, and then the third one highlights workforce and transfer efforts. Each initiative includes 4 to 5 goals that are led by internal stakeholders and include baseline and targeted metrics. The goals either begin in year 1 or year 2, which were assigned based on resource availability. The goals under enrollment growth focus on expanding access, improving prospective student conversion rates, and creating re-engagement campaigns to bring back students who have stopped attending. The student success goals focus on increasing our persistence, retention, and completion rates. Examples include expansion of our early alert program, instituting systemic early registration campaigns, and improving the successful outcomes of students who begin in developmental education courses. The workforce and transfer initiative relies the most on academic and student services collaboration. These goals look to enhance our credit for prior learning opportunities, to build structured degree maps, and to expand and refine our transfer university partnerships. These initiatives and goals were selected after careful consideration as to what would make the most impact within the 3-year timeframe to ensure we move the needle on our strategic enrollment efforts. Next slide, please. The fun slide. An important piece of a strategic enrollment management plan is how the success of the plan is measured. To measure this success, we develop key performance indicators that are tied to each goal. This table shows several of the plan's KPIs with their associated baseline, targets, and the status or update for each goal, each KPI. The KPIs were selected because they're common for enrollment and management plans as they inform the success of student success and enrollment growth. You can see here for our fall FTSE full-time student equivalent, we have targeted a 3% increase. Our most recent data shows an increase of just about a 0.75% from fall 24 to fall 25. You can see that in the right column. For our application to registration yield rate, we are currently at 35.6%, but we believe this will increase as we're still enrolling and admitting registering students for classes for this upcoming fall semester. We are excited to see that we've met our annual target for the retention KPI, this being 44% for our fall 2024 cohort. This means that 44% of our students who were registered in the fall 24 semester returned in fall 25. The non-successful KPI is a specialized data point. This one measures the group of students who did not retain, did not graduate, or did not transfer. So for this KPI, we want to see a decrease. Our most recent data for the 24 cohort shows it stayed the same as our baseline of 32%. And then the last KPI on the slide looks at transfer rates within 1 year of graduation. Our target is to have a 2% increase. Unfortunately, we did see a decrease this last year in 2024 to 31.5%. I'd like to highlight that we are in year one of the plan and some of the goals and strategies have not yet been implemented and still are in the developmental stage. As you can see, we have had some successes already, which is good news. Next slide, please. I'd now like to provide an overview of what we've been able to accomplish within the first year. The college has expanded access to those who qualify for the bachelor's degree in leadership, management, and operations. We foresee this to be a beginning point in increasing enrollment for this program and have made internal changes within advising as an example to support these students. Since spring, our success navigators and advising team have also collaborated on contacting students who have stopped attending Cochise, and the marketing team has also led a targeted outreach campaign for this student population. This includes social media, internet ads, and other methods. And as of recent, we've seen a 3% growth in our readmit population from this time last year. Our efforts seem to be working, and we will continue reaching out to this group as they already took time and effort to become a student, so we want to keep them. Related to our Student Success Initiative, our Admissions and Records Department, in collaboration with our advising team and other student services departments, have instituted a new process for declaring and or changing a student's program of study or major. These efforts are designed to ensure that students pursue the appropriate program for their educational and career goals, as well as enter into this program as soon as possible. So we're talking to them very early on about what is the appropriate program. We also launched an early registration campaign last spring that helps students understand the benefits of registering early for fall classes. Within workforce and transfer, credit for prior learning expansion discussions led to building a college-wide intake form, website refinement, and identification of additional opportunities for students. Last spring, we also focused on building stronger relationships with our University of Arizona partner. The conversations included teams from academics and student services and led to a full-day retreat that focused on how we can improve transfer student opportunities. A few ideas from this retreat include future training for our advising teams, offering transfer workshops for our students, and alignment of transfer program credits as well. Lastly, to manage the plan goals, we've established a strategic enrollment management committee, and our institutional research team is currently building a SEMP data dashboard. This will give us easy access to the plan KPIs and related data. Last slide, please. As you can see, we've developed a detailed plan that focuses on more than enrollment. We believe a SEMP that includes strategies focused on enrollment, student success, and workforce and transfer outcomes ensures we are focusing on the entire student journey. Before I end today, I want to share that we may find the need to update the plan before 28 due to the upcoming work on the college's strategic plan so that we can make sure it's in alignment. We want to make sure we're nimble and can pivot to the current needs of the college and our students. I look forward to providing another update next year on the plan for 2027, and I'd be happy to take any questions you have this time.
Since Dr. Allen, you're targeting the 30% that have some college that didn't finish, what are some of the things you're doing to bring them back?
Yes, looking at how long they've been away from the college and targeting certain outreach campaigns, our teams are making phone calls to students. We have marketing ads on social media for some examples. And also, we would like this year to reach out and really ask questions as to why. Why did they leave? What were some of the barriers? What are the barriers that we can control to look to see how we can resolve those?
I think night classes would be a big plus for people that have gone back by working, don't have time to go to school full time.
It's a really good point. Yeah.
If you had a pathway for them with night classes,
like an evening cohort.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Do you?
We got a question.
Do you feel we have the right tools to? To kind of reach out to the group you were just talking about, or even those that perhaps, you know, outwardly it looks like an unsuccessful outcome. Do you think you have the tools and resources to, you know, kind of get to that level of, if you will, micro data?
I think we do. I think one thing that will help in the upcoming year or two is the implementation of our CRM, because that will give us, instead of going to IR and getting lists of students and updating those, we could have real-time information on that.
Ducky, can you explain what a CRM is?
Yeah, I believe it's customer relationship management, I want to say. Okay. And it's a system that allows us to see who our prospective students are, who have applied, and then taking them through that whole process. So we're aware of where they're at in the process. Right now, it's a little more manual with some worksheets and things. We still have that access, but the CRM will definitely help.
But I think it also tracks touch points, right? So if they were with us, if we update the database with students that came to us for a couple of classes and then didn't come back, is an opportunity to reach back out to them and track then how many touch points we have so that we can possibly get them back in to help meet an educational opportunity.
Yeah, kind of on the outside, it just seems like you can't have too much data within within this problem set you're working to try and go after it and build, the data profiles you need to come up with meaningful solutions. Not great.
And creative ways are important because sometimes, students don't update that information as they leave. So phone numbers and things of that nature, we have to look for other ways to connect with them.
Sure. No, excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Hey, comments from the board, Chief?
Yesterday I thought convocation was absolutely excellent. I enjoyed it. Last 2 years I've been really inspired by it. So definitely thank you to whatever admin staff was involved and Dr. Wentz. And Dr. Brown and, the work on the strategic plan, getting that buy-in and the input from the faculty, just a fantastic job. And I'm excited, hope everybody's excited about, another year of making a difference in so many lives and the community and everything you do. So, thank you again. And, let's use that strategic plan and make it meaningful so that we can, be an even better best college in the universe. So good job.
Anthony? Mark?
Again, thank you. Every time I end up something with the college or someone from the college, I'm continually impressed. I'm impressed by the dedication that I see. I'm impressed by the knowledge that I see. I'm impressed by the, you know, our college president out there all the time. I bump into him all the time, it feels like. We're doing something, some community event somewhere all the time together. And so I love that. Or Cullen, I see him, you know, all the time too, as we're bumping into things and building the community. So I'm excited for this new school year. You know, we're starting. That's one of the things in my profession. I don't get to start a new college. I don't get to take time off or start again. I have to just keep going.
Better hope you don't.
I know, right? But sometimes those new beginnings are really fun, and a way to kind of refocus and re-go again. And I'm excited for this next college year. It's for the good that happens because of what all you people do in the community.
Well, I always like to wish everybody a happy Benson Center meeting because it's my favorite meeting. I had to get out of jury duty to make it tonight, but yeah. I got lucky and got the short straw and the long straw, I guess. I didn't have to serve on the jury. Anyway, that's all I have tonight. And we're going to go into executive session. We're going to adjourn this meeting. Well, we won't adjourn this meeting. We'll just go into executive session. No action will be taken when we come back. So we'll get out of this meeting and go on into executive session.
So moved.
Executive.
Yeah.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Regular Cochise College Governing Board. We stand adjourned.
Very good.